Psalm 57 and verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Unto these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Now I'm glad he's watching and he's looking on. He's protecting. He's always working. Our Savior is a busy Savior. He never sleeps or slumbers. Bible said, my soul is among lions. And we can identify with that subject and that statement in the Bible, for the scripture said that Satan as a what? Roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But I'm glad God always has a safe place for those that are his in times of danger. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst where they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great. Thank God for that. For thy mercy is great under the heavens, and thy truth under the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. You may be seated. I'd like to call your attention to verse number 1, if I can, this morning. And it's obvious that David is in the midst of trouble in the text that we're reading this morning. And I'm glad this morning that though faith does not free us from trials, it does allow us to have victory in the midst of trials. And so in Psalm 57 in verse 1, David said this, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings. Now, there's some question as to what David is talking about. Is he talking about the presence of God? I believe he is. For the wings that he may have been speaking of were there on the mercy seat where the golden cherubims and their wings stretched out there, because God told Israel that he would meet with them there above that mercy seat. Now, why did he meet with them there? That's because that was where the sprinkled blood covered the broken law. My. Let me say that again. That's because that was where the sprinkled blood covered the broken law. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that this morning? And so notice here in your Bible, he said, in the shadow of thy wings. Now, was he using the figure? And he could have been a bird that takes care of her little ones. I believe he could have been. And that's a good reflection on this text this morning. Now, I'm telling you, if you ever want to get flogged, just get out there around a chicken that's got some little pee-pees running around there. Say amen right there. I mean, if they're out there running around, I remember I was a boy out there on the farm in South Carolina, and I saw them little bitty things, and I said, man, I want to hold one so bad. And I, about the time I got down there where they were, all of a sudden all I could see was big wings and claws are coming down on me, because that mama wouldn't go let me touch her little ones. And in this passage of the Bible, God said for you and I that we have found a place of safety, the Bible said, in the shadow of thy wings. In the shadow of thy wings. It's a place of power. It's a place of his presence. It's a place of protection. Thank God what you and I have, we have in our great God. The Bible said, in the shadow of thy wings. That's what I want to preach about. Let's pray. Father, as we come today, we want to say thank you, Lord, for every song of Zion Thank you, dear God, for the choir singing, the Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the prayer time and the precious fellowship of God's people. And now I pray as we come together in this service that you'll bless us with your presence and power. And Lord, may we feel the wonder of your presence and know, God, how wonderfully that you protected us in the service today. And in every day of our lives as your people, I pray now as we reflect on what David said as he stood there in the shadow of the wings of God, as he reflected on God's power and God's protection, as he found a place of refuge. Oh God, I pray for that one who's here today that's going through heartache and trouble and trials. And as David speaks of calamities and problems in his life, oh God, help us to realize we'll always have a place of safety and solace and communion in the presence of God. I pray now you bless this service. Crown it with your goodness and fill it with your power. Help us, oh Lord, I pray to worship you and to peer down on the eternal pages of God's word and find the sweet balm of Gilead and the solace of heaven in this service here today. And we'll praise you, God, for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. As you look at this particular text, you realize that David is going through some type of trouble in his life. In verse 1, he talks about these calamities that he's going through. There's a reflection in this particular psalm. Those who reproach him in verse number 3. And even those that are set on fire in verse 4. And those whose teeth are as spears and arrows. And their tongue is a sharp sword. And so it's obvious that David is among his enemies. And that he's going through some type of danger or calamity in his life. Now I'm glad God let him pick up his harp and play just a little bit so the Holy Ghost could work on his heart so he could pen down these wonderful words in this psalm so you and I would have this great psalm of refuge and safety and solace in our troubles and our trials. I want to tell you this, I wouldn't want to go through this world now as a lost individual. I'd hate to have to face this nation and the trouble we're in today as a nation because of the moral problems America has. And not only that, I'd hate to be in this nation right now as an individual and know what an economic crisis we're facing as a nation and realize I didn't have anybody to watch over me and take care of me as an individual. Oh, but I'm so glad I've got a great God that has provided his power and his presence. And thank God he has brought us this far on the journey. And the Bible reminds us in this psalm that he's got a place in the shadow of his wings. A place of safety. A place of solace. A place of power. A place of provision. Our God has a watchful eye. And he has a loving heart. And he's able to take care of us this morning. Aren't you glad? And he's provided for you and I a place in the shadow of his wings. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're always going to go through trouble. You sure are. Sometimes it's trouble on the outside. Sometimes it's trouble with your finances. Sometimes it's trouble with your family. Sometimes it's trouble with your flesh. Sometimes it's trouble with your friends. Sometimes it's trouble with your foes. And God's not promised to save us from trouble. But thank God he has promised to make a refuge. Had a place for you and I to run to in these times. Had if David this morning could find that place of refuge, how much more could you and I, the cities of Israel in days of old? There were six cities on one side of Jordan. At six cities on the other side of Jordan. For the manslayer could run to a place of safety. I want to tell you this, there's always a place on this side of Calvary for those who are saved by God's grace that can run to. Thank God, this Bible said God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in time of trouble. I'm glad I've got somebody today to provide me a place of safety and solace when I'm going through the storm this morning. Now, in this particular time in David's life, it is amazing to me how God has worked wonderfully in his heart. Now, in the previous psalm, he had asked God to let him have wings like a dove that he might fly away in Psalm 55 and verse number 6. But in this psalm, he realized that his comfort and solace was not in escaping the circumstances. But thank God, his solace and his place of comfort was in a place of closeness with his God. And so he realized he had a place there close to the heart of his God, a place of safety and solace in the communion and the presence of God. Hallelujah. Now I'll tell you, if you're going through trouble today, what you ought to do? You ought to say, Lord, I want to get closer to you than I ever have before. Lord, I want you to deepen my prayer life. I want you to enlarge my praise. Lord, I want you to do something about my singing. I want to sing for you. I want to sing my song to you. I want to magnify you in song. And God, I want you to fix my heart so much so that I'll be awake and ready and have the victory in my heart in such a way so that when I come to the house of God, I don't sit there like a bump on a pickle. I don't look like a reject from the pickle factory. Thank God I come because, hallelujah, there's victory. I said there's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Can I tell you this? Church, there is a place where you can find safety and solace and communion in the shadow of his wings. God's powerful presence is able to do what nobody else can do for you while you're in the storm. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 3. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Now, hallelujah. That is, David didn't say, God, you might be able to do some things. You might be able to do a few things. You might, Lord, I'll give you half a dozen things you can do. No, no, no. Oh, he said, I'm going to cry unto him that's able to do all things. And as you know, when you take the limits off of God, it'll be amazing what God can do on your behalf when you just trust him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Now, notice what you say, preacher, what does David do? Well, he already tells us that his heart is fixed. Now he's talking about the focus of his heart. I've got my heart set on him who is the all-powerful, almighty God. He said, my heart is fixed, oh God. That's the same one that Moses said, in the beginning, God. The triune God. God the Father. God the Son. And God the Holy Ghost. He said, God, I've got my heart fixed on you. And he said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I've got my focus on you, and I've got my faith in you. You say, well, this economy's going to tank. It may. Have you ever noticed that God's fed his people in the time of famine? I mean, the widow at Zarephath didn't have no Social Security. Now, I'm not against it. I hope they keep it rolling. I'm afraid they're not going to be able to. I hope they keep it rolling. Don't vote me out of church. I promise I'm not going to take away your Social Security. All right? I won't. Somebody else might, but I won't. But I won't tell you this morning. The economy may fail and things may go bad. But I want to tell you this, if God leaves us here and if God lets us go through that, you and I can look up to God and know we have a Savior that can be trusted. If he could feed those children of Israel in the wilderness over a million Jews out there and there was not a Walmart or a McDonald's anywhere inside, I want to tell you, hallelujah to God, he can still feed us. I said, he can still feed us in the day and hour in which we're living. Hallelujah. So David said, now, Lord, I'm going to trust you. He said, now, Lord, I'm going to experience the triumph that a son of God and a child of God can experience. He said, awake up my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Now, what's he saying? He said, I am going to live in the victory of a joyful saint, a joyful Christian ought to live in. You and I ought to be singing songs of victory. We ought to be shouting shouts of victory. My soul, you just marched around Jericho's walls this morning and watched God do what nobody else can do. And they didn't even fire a shot. All they fired was a shout. Hey, are you with me now? Say amen. And here we are. Listen, the Bible said, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us that are saved have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not working for victory. We're not striving to get victory. We're laboring in victory and from victory, because that victory's already been provided by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then David said, now Lord, I want to testify. Verse 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. And he's concerned about God's message and God's glory. Now you and I that are saved on this side of the cross, you and I have a refuge in our Savior like David had. And we glean from his experience in this particular psalm what you and I have in the shadow of God's wings. Number one, the Bible said in verse number one, I make my refuge under these calamities be overpassed. I'm glad that when Satan sends mischief, and when he sends his noise, and when he tries to threaten God's people, that you and I have a refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've found a place of safety and security in God. Hallelujah. Did you know today that I am safer in the center of God's will than our president is in an armored limousine? Did you know that you're safer in the will of God if you were in the heart of Afghanistan this morning? You would be safer in the will of God, if that's where God wanted you, than you would be sitting on this pew this morning. Did you know that you're safer now doing God's will and obeying His commands and following the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your life? You're safer there than you would be, friend, if you launched out on some journey on your own this morning. And so David found in the shadow of God's wings a place of safety. I'm telling you, it's been found all down through the ages. Have those of us that are saved found a place of safety in the Lord Jesus Christ? Years ago, and I can't remember the missionary's name. I wish I could this morning. They went to a distant jungle, a vast, remote place in the heart of a country full of heathens. And they started a little missionary church. They began to try to befriend the natives and learn their language and communicate with them. And through some series of events, one night, the chief of the tribe and some of the warriors from that tribe came and they surrounded his hut. And that missionary and his family got down on their knees and they could hear them coming through the jungle. And they knew the sound of the drums and the other things meant that it was probably going to mean they could possibly lose their lives. They got down on their knees in that hut and they began to pray. And they prayed and they prayed. And suddenly, the drums ceased, and the jungle began to get quiet, and they all disappeared into the night. They were never heard of all night long. Some years later, that missionary preacher won that tribal leader to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the Lord's Supper together, and they sat around a place fellowshipping afterwards that day. And he asked that native prince, he asked that tribal leader, he said, I want to ask you something. He said, shortly after we arrived one night, he said, I could hear all of your men, the mighty warriors, surround our hut one night. He said, I want to know why you didn't take our lives. He said, well, he said, if we would have, if it had not been for the white soldiers. He said, what do you mean? He said, you had white soldiers with blazing swords standing all around your tent. Oh, listen, man. I'm going to tell you this. The God of heaven had heard their prayers. Had it sent his mighty angels. And they camped around that hut. And that missionary and his family were in a place of safety. Under the shadow of the wings of God. And a place of refuge. I want to tell you something, friend. You're safer in the center of God's perfect will for your life than you would be outside of God's will for your life. This place is a place of safety. Number two, this place is a place of supplication in verse number two. He said, I will cry unto God Most High. You know, a lot of times we are praying and we ought to. I believe all of God's people ought to be prayerful people. I believe you and I ought to be praying. And I believe our life ought to be characterized by calling out to God. But there are also times when we cry out to the Lord. There are times in our life when through bitter tears and a broken heart, we begin to lift up our voice to our God. And we cry out like a little child in the night for our Father to come to our aid. I'm glad when I'm going through calamities, when the enemy has encamped round about me, and with their drawn swords and their sharp teeth and their long tongues. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I've got a God tonight that allows me to cry out unto Him. Hallelujah. I remember when I was a little boy, I climbed trees. I loved to climb trees. Any tree I could climb, I wanted to climb it. And we had one of these trees out in the backyard of our place, and boy, I climbed that tree every day I could. I mean, I looked for trees to climb. This day, I got up in that tree and I was going up, and I'd grab limb and I'd go up and grab, and I'd try to get as high as I could. I'd sit up there and I'd spy on the neighbors. I'd watch the birds and the squirrels. I had the best seat in the neighborhood. I'd look around. That day I was climbing that tree. I come up and I went to climb and I slipped and I fell. I found myself hanging upside down by one leg. And so you say, what'd you do? I did what David did. I cried out, help! Help! About that time, I heard that old screen door in the back of the house go flop, 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 flop. Had that fancy closer, you know, so long spring. Amen. Come back, said flop, flop, flop. And my daddy stepped out on them steps and he started laughing. Well, I didn't see anything funny myself. I was hanging upside down. And I was just having dreams and visions about all the blood running in my head, my eyeballs popping out, my head popping off, and all like that. And he looked out there and he asked me a wonderful question. He said, what are you doing? And I thought, well, what does it look like I'm doing? Hanging here upside down in this tree. And I said, I fell and I can't get loose. He said, I'll be right there. And he came down there right where I was and got a hold of me and picked me up and set me down and took care of me. And that's because I had somebody that was within earshot that I could cry out unto. I'm telling you what, honey, he's always just one prayer away. He's right there near by our side. He's not a God afar off. He's not a distant God, but he's a very present help in time of trouble. I'm glad I've got somebody this morning that I can cry out unto. I can find a place of safety in the wings of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad you got somebody that you can cry out to? It's somebody that you can call upon. And hallelujah, this morning I'm glad I've got a Savior that's there. His mercy is great. Thank God His truth reaches under the clouds. He is there to listen and He hears the cries of His children. He knows their distress. He knows their circumstances. He knows how much we can take and how much we can go through. I've got a place where I can cry out to God. Boy, I tell you, I've been in some situations in my life where, boy, I thought the devil was going to get the best of me. Maybe you have too. I wasn't so sure, but what? I had fallen into a place where I didn't belong and the devil was going to take advantage of me. Oh, but I'm glad I was able to cry unto God Most High. I'm glad there's nobody above Him, nobody greater than Him, and nobody can stop Him. He's the unstoppable Savior. He's the able Savior. He's the mighty Savior. He's an omnipotent Savior, an omnipresent Savior, an omniscient Savior. He's all powerful. He's all knowing and everywhere present. He's everywhere, and He don't have to go anywhere to get there. Hallelujah. And He's hearing my prayers and taking care of my needs. Hallelujah. That's why I've got a place where I can cry out to God. Now, if you don't pray, you're going to wish you had. The problems you don't commit to God in prayer will probably get worse with your little answer. But listen now, how many times have we taken it into our hands? Oh, Lord, I can fix this. No worries. I know how to do it. And then about a day later, half your hair pulled out. Some of you have been in a few of them, I can see. And you realize, I'm glad some of you have a sense of humor, hallelujah. Man alive, I'm starting to look like I might be dinner for some of you. Amen. Oh my, it's a lot of chicken invested in this. Don't you worry, honey. But you'll neither say we have a Savior that we can cry unto because He's the Most High God. And listen now, don't you worry about bringing your request. He's able. Yeah. Oh yeah. I know a fella right now that somebody told him here the other day, they said, you need a car. He said, well, I've been thinking about getting one. They said, you need one. And after the service, they just walked up and handed him a little folded piece of paper and said, you go down and get what you need. It was a blank check with the signature on it. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, I couldn't do that. Yeah, but they could. And they did. Amen. While he was down there, he called down there and he said, now, he'd been gracious. He said, I have found what I believe the Lord wants me to have. He said, and the wonderful thing is, he said, God showed me something else. He said, I'm going to be able to get my wife a vehicle because of the deal they got on these. He said, but you ain't paying for that. They said, hold on a minute here. Yes, I am. You go ahead and you take that check. Said, you just fill it out. It's covered. Covered. Joshua would like to know who they were. I know about all of you. You're going to say, who's the name of that guy? I need to get to be friends with him. Give me his name and address, email, phone number. Well, listen, you got somebody bigger than him. Every man that can sign his check has limitations. Right? Every person that could give you financial backing has limitations. But the one that saved you doesn't have any. Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you he's going to give you a check for $1 million tomorrow, but I'm telling you he can back you and take care of you. And he can hear your cry and take care of your need and meet your need. That's because he's given you a place, hallelujah, in the shadow of his wings. Amen. Yes, he has. Then number three, David said, Lord, I found a place of supplication. I found a place of song. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of us, sadly, when trouble comes, we don't sing very much. We say, well, preacher, don't call on me to sing. I don't feel good. Don't feel real good. Had a bad week. My dog bit me on my big toe. And my Aunt Gertrude come stay with us for a few days and she dipped snuff. An old preacher. It was bad. Well, let me tell you this. Did you know that God's people are able to sing in some unusual circumstances? Did you know that one of those kings of Judah got faced with the enemy in 2 Chronicles and he told them, when you go out there, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sing unto the Lord. And as they sang, the Bible said the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. And God routed that enemy because they were willing to sing through the battle that they were going through. Did you know that some of the greatest songs that have ever been written have been written when God's children have been going through battles? This song right here that we're preaching about come from David's pen when he was in a battle in his life. And others, if you could know the stories behind them today, you'd find out some of the greatest hymns and songs and gospel songs that have been written when God's people are going through some type of battle. And David said in verse number 7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Hallelujah. Years ago, Brother Billy Kelly lost one of his children. Boy, I tell you, it was a tough time. It was a tough time in his life. And somebody come through the funeral line there at that casket. And they asked him, they said, Brother Billy, said, I want to ask you a question. Said, I never have felt like it, but I do today. Said, I want to ask you if the grace of God has been sufficient in these days. He said, oh, Brother Billy Kelly leaned over on that casket and laid his hand over there and he started singing, Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Now I will tell you this, buddy. God can give His people a song in the darkest night of their life. God can put a song down in their heart in the darkest hour of their night. I want to tell you, when Paul and Silas were down there in the jail at Philippi, it doesn't surprise me that they began to pray. If I was in jail, I'd be praying too. But at midnight, thank God, Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto God. And God got so involved in what was going on, He sent that jail, hallelujah, to God, and set them free and saved a sinner. I'm telling you what, God can give you a song to sing, even if you're going through a trial in your life, in the shadow of His wings. Then, in that same shadow, He can give you praise. Verse 9, wonderful spiritual praise. I will praise Thee, O Lord. I don't tell you, praise is more a matter of the will than it is the feelings. You said, you always feel like it? No. Don't feel like it always. But it's always right. Amen. You say, well, did you do that in the flesh? That's the only way I can do it. If I do it in the spirit, all you'll run past Whataburger and never come back. If you see a spirit float across here and you see it praising, I guarantee you, I'll beat you home. I promise you that. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do like David said. I'm going to offer up to God willingly the praise of my heart, even in spite of the circumstances. Oh yes, if David could do it, but he's going through heartache and heartbreak in his life, calamities on every side, enemies round about him, soul among those that were like lions. Oh, thank God I can praise Him because I'm in the shadow of His wings this morning. Amen. All right, I'm almost done. Y'all with me? Heard your belly growl, I'm almost finished. Where are you living at? Are you living in the shadow of His wings? I and you can enjoy the sweetness of His presence. Oh, today, if you could just say to the Lord, touch me, Lord. I sure would like to feel Your presence. I guarantee you, in the shadow of His wings, you'd receive a wonderful touch from the Son of God. Oh, he said in his petition in verse 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And he says it again in verse 11. You and I can experience that wonderful, glorious touch of the Lord in the shadow of His wings. Some of us today, I'm afraid, are living way beneath our birthright. Way beneath the place where He wants us to be. You'll get to the place one day where you realize you can't control the circumstances, but you can keep them from controlling you. That you can't stop trouble from coming your way, but you don't have to let trouble be the Lord of your life. You can't stop heartache from hurting you, but you don't have to let it become bitterness in your heart. You can't stop sometimes friends from turning their back upon you in a long life's way. It never ceases to amaze me sometimes in the ministry, those you try to help the most are those who hurt you the most. I don't know why that is. I'm not saying it angrily. I'm not bitter this morning. But sometimes the people you try to help the very most are those who hurt you the most. Now I want to say to you today, you and I that are saved have a place of safety under the shadow of the wings of the Savior. Let's all stand with our heads bowed today.